Cape Talk.
DIY.
You've got your gangster rapper look on your face today, Angelo. Head bopping along to his theme tune. Always wonderful to welcome Mr. DIY himself, Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants. Great to have you with us.
Lovely to be back. That song is just...
It always makes your day. I love it. And now we have a specialist segment today focused on solar power. So also with us in studio is Grant Hallett, who's Managing Director of Cape Renewable Group. Grant, welcome to the studio. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Pippa.
It's a great pleasure. They're standing by to answer your questions around solar hot water systems. The number to dial 021-446-0567. You can leave a question as a voice note on 072-567-1567 or send us an SMS to 31567. Grant, won't you just by way of introduction tell us a little bit about the business?
Sure. Well, Pepper, we specialize in hot water solar, that being flat plate collectors and evacuated tube systems. We also do water harvesting, that's part of our forte. And we also do photovoltaic power generation.
Okay, so I'm so glad you said the magical words water harvesting, because obviously that is a very, very pertinent topic right now that we want to talk to you, as well as the solar issues. Okay, I know between you at the Cape Renewable Group, you've got more than 20 years collective experience in this sector. You work on both home and corporate environments,
correct,
don't you?
Yeah. We deal with domestic, so your normal household, and then obviously we also do corporates and the commercial sector.
Okay. Now, I think we have to ask the really obvious question before we delve into the details of how do solar systems actually work? Can you give us a layman's explanation?
Well, layman is as long as the sun is shining, you're generating heat depends on what collector you're using, and which in turn heats your water in your geyser. So ultimately what you're doing is you're trying to cut out the use of your element, which is 40%. It uses 40% of electricity, and you're using the sun to generate heat.
Okay, it sounds frightfully easy. Is it that easy to install and get a house up and running on this kind of system?
Well, there's two sectors of that. It is easy to do if you. But what the thing is, you know, one has to do it by SABS approval, in the sense of that we do our installations based on what our guidelines from SABS. You get a lot of people out there that think they can just slap solar system on their roof and Bob's your uncle. It doesn't work out right now.
So it's not actually a DIY job at all. Angelo, I mean, tell us how.
I know two clients that actually had people install solar geysers, and they had fires in their roofs.
Oh, my goodness.
So it has to be installed by the correct person. And if you're following the SABS, you know, the regulations, then you're well on your way. But, one has to be very careful with this sort of stuff. You want to do it correctly, because if you don't, there can be severe consequences.
Okay. In your opinion, as someone who sort of looks holistically at building sites and new developments, etc., how much uptake is there for this? Is everybody who's building a new development wanting to go the solar route, or is it still something that people feel it might be too expensive, I don't know if it'll work for me?
I think it's starting to change, and I see it, and it's starting to grow. Okay, so on some of our sites, for example, the guys are putting in panels and heat pumps, etc. But I think a lot of the change is happening in a sort of domestic, where people own their own houses and they're starting to retrofit and do all that sort of stuff. And there are new regulations in place for example, the glass, the windows that we discussed the last time, that there are the regulations with regards to heat loss, etc. Mm-hmm. So it is all coming into place and it is starting to grow.
Okay, thanks for that sort of big picture. The first question already through on our SMS for you, Grant, and that's from Mark, who's asking, please can you explain the pros and cons between a heat pump and a solar panel for hot water?
Well, firstly, a heat pump is basically, if you look at it in layman's terms, it's it's like an air conditioner, but just reversed. With a heat pump, which is horses for courses as far as I believe, is that there's maintenance involved. They come with a 5-year limited warranty, where with a flat plate collector, you put the panel on the roof, you get either a 5-year or 10-year warranty, and it's very little maintenance.
Okay. And in terms of the output, is there a big difference?
Heat pumps can take ambient air out and basically generate the heat. I think the most temperature you can get out of them is plus minus 60 degrees. On a collector, you can get up to 80, 90 degrees. Not that you would ever use that kind of temperatures, but that's the kind of temperature you can expect on a hot day.
I think it's also important to realize that there are different size heat pumps, mm-hmm. and you need to have someone advise you on what sort of pump you need. So how much water is used in your household, and then they can advise you on the type of heat pump. So that needs to be kept in mind. And of course, maintenance. You know, these things need to be maintained.
Our first call is already on the line. Ray in University Estate, good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa, thanks for taking this call.
Sure.
My panels and my solar heaters were put in by a very reputable company who've been on your show a couple of times, but then they decided not to do it anymore. And this was put in a couple of years ago, and I'm not sure what the expiry date is, the best before dates for these solar panels. So what happens, who do I go to when it does expire? I'm so confused.
To answer that question, a well-manufactured flat plate collector should have a life expectancy of up to 20 years. Now, bearing in mind that one can't just put a panel on the roof and not maintain it. It's like anything else. You buy a car, you buy any piece of appliance, you need to maintain it. So what our company does, we offer maintenance contracts. We come out once a year, we flush your system, we check your valves are working, we make sure that your insulation around your piping is correct, and that we will service the systems for you.
Oh, great. So can I be put back to the lady who answered my call just to get your details?
You absolutely can, Ray. Amy will take your call back again, but it's Cape Renewable Group. We're chatting to the MD, Grant Hallett, today. Grant, Ray, thanks so much. And Grant, that's one. So even if you didn't install them, you're happy to take on a maintenance-type relationship with the client?
100%, Pip. And I think that's something I'm trying to get through today as well, is that people need to know that your system needs to be maintained from a safety perspective and from an efficiency perspective.
Okay, thanks for that. We have another call on the line. Heather in Newlands, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I've had it for over 20 years, panels, the old sort with the big sort of tank on the roof. I don't use my electricity from October till April.
Gosh, so it's really worked for you, Heather.
It really worked. I've had no problems. And I'm very disappointed with the council, because when we had the electrical power out a few years ago, they were going to pass a law that all new houses would have to put in solar panels, and nothing has happened.
Grant, any update on that story?
No, without a doubt, Pippa. If you look at new developments now, and likewise what Angela said, there is a certain part of the building that needs to have solar installed. So you'll notice any major developments, they will definitely have a solar panel installed, and that is per discretion of the developer himself, but it's a prerequisite, yeah.
Okay, Heather, thanks so much. It's great to get positive feedback from someone who's been working with the system for so long as 20 years in your case. It really it's great to hear that. Angela?
Right. A question that came up now with Heather. You know, she's had it for 20 years. What would be a payback period for installing, for example, a heat pump or a solar system?
Well, I think in Heather's case, 20 years, that system's paid for itself over and over. Your payback period basically boils down to how many people are in the house. If you've got 150 litres a system and there's 3 to 4 people in the house, your payback should be anything between 3 to 5 years. If you've got more people using more hot water, more generation, obviously also taking in consideration our lovely Eskom giving us increases on a yearly basis, more increases, better, a quicker time of payback.
Okay, having said that, what kind of initial outlay is expected? Because I think one of the barriers to more people doing this is that they're scared it's going to be that expensive to start with.
I think, Pippa, your first thing you need to look at, everyone's got a geyser in their roof. So if a geyser's between 3 to 5 years, one can take the existing geyser in what we call a retrofit system, where what we do is we'll do a pump system where we will take a flat plate collector, put it on the roof, and then we'll put a banjo valve onto your geyser, and then we will put a pump system that will pump the water through into your geyser. A system like that, you can get around about 10,500 to 11,000 rand. On a brand new 150, you're looking between 15,500 to 16,500, and a 200 between 18 and 21.
Okay, so up to 21,000 rand, but as we've already said, that will pay for itself in electricity cost savings.
Correct.
Over the course of the next couple of years.
Well, I want to know, with the rain harvesting,
yes,
can you retrofit your rain harvest, so your tank, can you tie that in to work with your system, with your heat pump system?
Not on the rain harvesting system, but what you're doing is you're taking your grey water, and that's rain harvesting. We take grey water, we harvest it, and we use that to go into put that into where you're flushing of your toilets, and then watering of your grass. There's certain systems, but we will have it on our Facebook page, and you can see the different systems we offer on that.
And if we wanted to collect rainwater from our roof, and tie that in.
Yeah, absolutely. You can utilize fresh, or if the water is filtered, you can put it back into your geyser, fill it up from there, and then you can utilize it from there.
Sure. Question on the SMS line from Louise, asking if it matters which way your roof faces when installing these systems.
Well, Pippa, that's a great question. The best, obviously, is it's north facing. That's the first thing. If your roof is north facing, then you A4 way. Well, what we do if roofs aren't exactly north facing, we will obviously do a site inspection. If we have to upsize your panel, then we'll do something like that to make sure that you get as maximum UV as you can during the day.
Okay, Louise, thanks for a great question. And it's hello to John on the line from Cape Town. John, good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa. Hi, guys. A quick question, what is better, evacuated tube panels or flat-face panels?
John, also a great question. My first initial answer to that is horses for courses. If you're looking at evacuated tubes, great technology, very efficient system. Basically, if you're in frost areas, up country, inland, great system to have. Or in poor water areas, evacuated tube system, definitely way to go. Cape Town, Western Cape, flat pack collector all the way. The only difference between the two is you can lose a vacuum over many years and those pipes will have to be changed. Flat pack collector, service it once a year, flush it out. You've got a good 20 years into it.
That part is efficient.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks for your call, John. Also an important question. For those not very familiar with the products, won't you just elaborate a bit, Grant? What's the difference between the flat plate versus an evacuated tube?
Well, the beauty of the flat plate, and I think we all need to go back to local manufacturing in South Africa, is that we have got a handful of local manufacturers in South Africa that can manufacture flat plate collectors. In South Africa, we do not manufacture evacuated tube, the glass itself. We do have the likes of Actum that manufacture the heat rod that goes into evacuated tubes. The glass is then imported. So if you look at from that aspect, evacuated tubes is also it is a imported product versus locally manufactured flat plate collector.
Okay. On the SMS line, Keith asking, can one combine a gas geyser with a solar system?
Well, that's what we call a hybrid. Yes, absolutely. That would have to be get your local professional to come out and assess your situation. We can come out as well. And then what we can do is we tie them in together. When you need to use gas, it's just like when you have to use electricity. When the sun doesn't shine enough to heat your water, you would use gas to supplement the heat generation.
If you've just joined us late to the conversation, our guests in studio, you know one of the voices, Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants. The other voice belongs to Grant Hallett, who is the Managing Director of Cape Renewable Group. Chatting to us today about solar hot water systems, but also about water harvesting. And Grant, obviously that is the buzzword at the moment. We hope everyone's trying to save water wherever they can, however they can. What are your recommendations on the possibilities that you can implement in your home?
Well, Pippa, you know, I was quite shocked to see that phoning around a couple of suppliers that your major suppliers on the likes of, I'm going to use the name, the JoJo tanks and the Eco tanks out there, their book is closed for the year. There's no more manufacturing. The call is so large out there. So the suggestion is, you know, every drop counts. We know that slogan. And literally get someone in there, let them come out, give you some advice, get the wheels in motion to start saving that water.
Okay, that's bad news. So if you were planning on ordering a JoJo tanker to see you through the end of the year, it's too late. You won't be able to until they've built a new batch. I guess that's a good sign that lots of people are buying them. We've certainly got ours installed for a while already. Matthew asking an interesting question on the SMS line as to whether there are any tax incentives for installing these kinds of systems.
Well, on the hot water side, there used to be the national rebate. That fell away around about 3 to 4 years ago. Unfortunately, government stopped that. That was a great incentive to everyone out there. There is a tax incentive if you're a business on the photovoltaic side, which is basically you can write off your capital within the first year versus 5 years depreciation. So that's a great incentive on the photovoltaic power generation side.
Okay. And then a very, very pertinent question for us here in Cape Town. Tim asking how you prevent wind damage to the panels. I've seen neighbors whose solar systems have taken the brunt of the Cape Doctor and emerged second best in that battle. What can be done to protect them?
Well, Pippa, as we all know, we live in a windy city. The bottom line there shouldn't be an issue. If you've got an accredited installer that does the job correctly, you should have no issue with wind at all.
Thanks. We can take a few more calls. We'll take a short break, but back with more of your calls on 021-446-0567. You're also welcome to send an SMS to 31567.
Pippa Hudson, lines are always open on 021-446-0567.
We're talking solar hot water systems and water harvesting today. My guests in studio, Angelo D'Ambrosio and Grant Hallett of Cape Renewable Group. I should just mention that we're actually talking solar power tomorrow as well in Pippa's Planet. I'll introduce you to a social entrepreneurship initiative called Solar Turtle. And they are taking solar systems into rural villages to try and improve quality of life and sort out their problems with the limited supply of electricity. So please tune in tomorrow at 2. For now, we're trying to help you get to grips with understanding how to use these systems in your own home and the kinds of things you need to consider if you're doing that. Tony was on the line from Cape Town. We'll see if we can get him back again. But while we have a gap, Angela, you were just saying the importance of maybe needing to distinguish between photovoltaic and flat plate systems, because people aren't always clear that these are two completely different processes.
Well, they're two different items altogether. One produces electricity.
That's the photovoltaic. Yeah.
And the other one heats water. And the photovoltaic heats it gives you electricity to heat your geyser,
mm-hmm.
okay, in layman's terms. Whereas the other one heats the water, the pipes heat
directly.
The water.
Okay.
Correct.
Important to distinguish. Thank you. Greg is on the line from Bloberg. Good afternoon, Greg.
Hi there, Pippa. Pippa, I've got solar on my roof, and 6 months of the year, I turn my geyser off.
Fantastic.
But in winter time, let's say it doesn't rain and there is sunshine, it doesn't heat the water up. So my question is, does the ambient air have to be hot as well as sunshine?
Hi, Greg. Greg, I understand you exactly where you're coming from there, that you should actually, in conjunction with your normal solar panel, install a timer. Now, that timer, what will it do is it would bring, if there wasn't enough sun during the day, the timer will come on and then bring the temperature up via your element to 55, then switch it off again. And likewise, you can set the timer come in the morning or in the evening.
So you actually really need summer days to warm up the water.
Because yes,
if it was sunny throughout the winter season, it's not going to warm up that water.
No, as long as there is sun, it can still be cloudy. You probably get to temperatures like 35 to 40 degrees on a slightly cloudy day. But my suggestion to you is definitely look at a timer to substitute that.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Thanks for your call, Greg. Before we run out of time, Grant, I'd love to tell listeners where to get hold of you if they'd like to find out more or ask a question we haven't covered today. I know you've got a website, caperenewable.co.za. How else can they find you?
They can get me directly on my cell phone number, which is 063-631-0038, or they can follow us on Facebook.
Okay, it's Cape Renewable Group if you're looking for more information. You mentioned earlier the importance of having a good SABS-approved installation. Grant, if somebody is thinking of putting in a system and they're not sure whether the person doing it is SABS-approved, how do they check that?
Well, you know, you have to have a qualified plumber, which is a PIRB-registered, PIRB-registered plumber, to do the installations. And if whatever installer comes there, you can just ask him for their credentials.
And do ask for the credentials, please.
Do, yes.
Yeah, we've heard about the consequences if you don't. Okay.
Remember, also, if they're getting a lot of guys coming in, ask the company to provide their IDs, copy of their IDs, so that you can keep on site at your house in case something happens.
You're allowed to do that?
Yeah, well, we have asked companies before, when they come on site, especially when they're working in blocks of flats, for example, that they need to leave the IDs of their staff, so that in case something happens, there's details.
So actually, so you mean details of their ID number, not
sure,
the physical
sure.
ID book
no,
itself,
no,
just
no,
to clarify.
Sorry,
yes,
sorry,
yeah,
yeah. Copy.
Okay.
A copy of it. Yeah.
Also a good point from a security perspective as well. Angela, always great to have you with us. And Grant, thanks so much for joining us today. Wonderful to have you with us in studio.
Pleasure.
Grant Hallett of Cape Renewable Group, Angela D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants, back with us next week for a general DIY segment. Fantastic.